Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
So I just gave you the AFC playoff picture in general. And I'll start with you, Danny G. Right now, Kansas City and New England are the overall prohibitive favorites to, well, not prohibitive favorites, but right now they would be your bye teams, right? Teams that get a bye and advance the divisional round of the playoffs. The Chargers, I'm going to say, remain my dark horse because I picked them to make the Super Bowl before the season started. I'd like to see him go on the road Thursday and beat the Chiefs just because I think it injects a lot of drama into the AFC playoff picture. Given how well Phillip Rivers is playing right now, best season of his career, eventually Melvin Gordon is going to come back and be healthy, which gives them a dynamic offensive attack. Defense is playing pretty well. They're my pick to surprise people and kind of come out of nowhere and still advance to the Super Bowl. If you had to pick somebody other than the Chiefs and the Patriots, who would you pick in the playoffs right now in the AFC?
So I tend to think that the teams at the very top in the AFC are going to stay there. But my dark horse, the team that I think is going to move up a couple of spots, is the Indianapolis Colts.
So you think they're going to basically win out because that's what they have to do in order to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think Andrew Luck and the Colts are going to win the rest of their games and move up the board.
So the Colts remaining on their schedule, they have obviously the Cowboys this weekend. Then they go against the Giants, and then they go on the road against the Titans. And I think they have to win all three. But certainly the way they've played since they started off 1-5 has, other than the 6-0 defeat on the road against the Jags, which was tough to figure out, there's certainly some support for that. What about you, Eddie Garcia? You're a big Steelers fan. Any faith in any other team that's remaining in the AFC outside of the top two right now?
Well, Clay, as you know, I am a Steelers fan, but because of my wife, I am a Chargers season ticket holder.
Yeah, right.
And I do see this team a lot, and I got to agree with you. I know that the Chargers don't have a great track record as far as, you know, getting clutch wins in the playoffs, but they've got the quarterback. Melvin Gordon, if he's right, is one of the better running backs in the league. You know, Keenan Allen is a great wide receiver. Another guy that they never put on injured reserve, but he got hurt in the preseason, was the tight end Hunter Henry. And they think he might be able to come back in time for the playoffs. That would be a great addition at the end. Bosa, if he stays healthy, is now back and provides him with that great tandem with Melvin Ingram rushing the passer. So I kind of like the Chargers as well, even though I that is the great caveat, though, as you mentioned. What if they get a home playoff game or two? Would they consider moving that game to the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl? Is that even an option? Because I can't imagine them hosting an important playoff game in that stadium.
What do you think it would look like? I mean, would the opposing team take over that stadium?
I really think they probably would. I mean, if it's the Colts or somebody like that, you know, maybe not. But, I mean, if the Steelers were to get in, well, I guess they'd probably win the division. So if that wouldn't be a traveling game for them. But, I got to think there'll be a lot of opposing fans there. It's been the story the whole time that they've played there. So it's a tough environment for those players and for diehard fans like my wife to have to go in there and sit next to opposing fans all the time. It's not a fun situation for them.
So you're on my side, Chargers there. What about you, Roberto? Who you got?
Out of all the teams, I guess, yeah, I hate to say it, but the Chargers. It seems like the Chargers have a chance to actually make it to the Super Bowl, but I don't think they will because they always choke.
Dub, step in here. Anybody else you're jumping on board the bandwagon with here outside the top two?
Yeah, I don't think Dub's there.
Where is Dub? Is he not working today?
I have no idea.
No one has heard from Dub so far today?
Uh-uh.
Uh-oh.
This seems like something I should be told. Would he agree that the guy who's in charge of the phones, if he's not there on the day of the anonymous mailbag when I'm teasing it and our ability to field calls is what Dub is not there.
If he has issues at all, he usually text messages me. I haven't got anything from him.
Yeah, me neither.
I will I'll hit up his cell phone right now.
So Dub is missing.
Yeah, I texted him earlier and he
no response from Dub. We have no idea where he might be.
No.
It's amazing to me that this show works. The amount of don't show up on this show.
Oh, man.
I'm an island of competence, yes, as I always
island
say.
Island of perfection surrounded by complete incompetence. Yes. Here's a question for you guys, because you're picking the Chargers. Let's say, and I've heard Cowherd mention this once or twice on his show, and it got me thinking, because I live here in Los Angeles. What if the Chargers were able to go to the Super Bowl and they won? Where would the championship parade be held?
Yeah, that's a good question. It should be in San Diego. It should be in San
Probably
Diego.
No
and that
parade.
Would be such a it'd
just
be such
like
a kick
rally.
In the teeth.
Yes. Yeah. Would it be Eddie, would it be like at a I don't know, like at a vet hall, a veterans hall, or I mean, where would you do it? In front of City Hall? I mean, think of all the famous Laker parades here over the years, and the Raiders back in the day when they won a championship. Where in the city of L.A. would the Chargers fans
meet? Well, first of all,
meet?
Let's be honest. L.A. is an ultimate front-running town. So there would be a ton of people who were like, oh, I've always been a huge Charger fan
It feels different. It feels different with the Chargers, though, Clay. It really does, because this is a Raiders town. Now there's some Rams fans popping up.
Yeah, but if you win the Super Bowl, I'll just tell you this. Like, I have traveled around a lot. Nobody cared about the Ravens very much when they moved back to Baltimore for a while. And then the Ravens got hot with Ray Lewis after he murdered two people. And they were like, this is our guy. Let's put a statue up of him. And they fell in love with the Ravens. I mean, to me, I always say you can tell by the flags, right? Suddenly, when a team gets hot, everybody's got a flag of that team on their car. And you would think that everybody always had those flags. The flags go up like 1,000,000,000%. I know here in Nashville, for example, the Redskins, when they got hot in D.C., like I said before, the Ravens. If you've lived in different parts of the country, when a team gets hot, the Bucks are awful forever. And then suddenly they make a Super Bowl run, and everybody in Tampa Bay and everywhere else like, oh, I've always been a huge Bucks fan. All of the fair weather fans come out. The people who've been to a game once in the last decade, people who usually don't put the game on television. Look, the Preds here in Nashville almost won the Stanley Cup, right? And you would have thought that the Nashville Predators were the most popular franchise in the history of mankind based on the number of people who were showing up to watch the Preds games in public viewing areas. Everybody gets on the bandwagon for a winning team. So I think there would be a ton of people who would come out of the woodwork to show up there and support them. It is a fun question. They should do it in San Diego, but it's such a kick in the teeth to everybody in San Diego, I don't think they could. By the way, the NFC playoff picture, nowhere near as complicated. I said I was going to hit this, and then we're going to talk with John Campbell. But New Orleans, I think it does matter, the more I think about it, where that home field exists. And if you're New Orleans, you want to beat the Panthers twice and you want to beat the Steelers to get to 14-2 and lock up the home field advantage. The Rams also sitting at 11-2. They want to get that bye. They're in great shape to do it. I think they're going to blow out the Eagles this weekend. I've already made that bet on Lock It In. I absolutely love that game, Rams -9. I think the Bears, look, they have a home field advantage. I think they will win their division. Certainly, I think the Cowboys will win the NFC East. I think the Seattle's locked in basically at the 5 seed. And I think, as we talked about yesterday, the Minnesota Vikings are likely to beat the Dolphins this weekend. I think they are going to take the 6 seed overall. And then, look, you have the Carolina Panthers, Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Redskins, maybe Green Bay, all on the outside looking in, trying to fight to make the playoffs. I don't think any of those teams will. I think the NFC playoff picture comparatively is pretty much locked in stone. Let me go ahead and bring in Eddie Garcia, find out what's shaking in the world of sports. It's a relatively quiet day of action out there in the NBA. In the NBA and the NHL. What you got for me? Even in college basketball, there weren't that many top 25 games.
Yeah, you're right. We had just 3 games in the NBA, but on the Geico scoreboard, we can tell you that the Raptors now are 22-7 on the year, best record in the league after coming to LA and beating the Clippers 123-99. They won it without injured star Kawhi Leonard. Serge Ibaka had 25 points, Kyle Lowry 21 points. In the victory, Rockets topped the Trailblazers 111-104. Chris Paul with a triple-double, 11 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists in the win, and the Spurs beat the Suns 111-86. San Antonio head coach Greg Popovich gets career win number 1,211. He passes Pat Riley for fourth on the all-time wins list. He's now 11 behind Jerry Sloan for the third spot. College basketball, there was an upset in the top 25 with Penn beating number 17 Villanova 78-75. In the NFL, after losing on Monday night to the Seahawks and only putting 7 points on the board, Minnesota Vikings fired their offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, and they replaced him with quarterbacks coach Kevin Stefanski. This report brought to you by TrueCar. Online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Back to Clay Travis in the Geico Outkick the Coverage studios.
We are indeed here live in the Geico Outkick studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Have we got an update on Dub?
So, Clay, I looked at the schedule that's sent out every Friday, and Dub is scheduled to work today. Phones are scheduled to be in Nashville. Man. So I think Dub got pretty hammered last night and probably still sleeping right now.
Now, I have a little bit of a conspiracy theory.
Did you text him and there's no response to the text either?
No response. He's usually in my inbox every morning. He's not there. So,
all right, let's go ahead and let's call his cell live on the air here. Do you have his cell phone number?
I do.
All right, can we dial it up now?
Yeah, give me a sec.
All right.
You guys talk amongst yourselves.
All right, we're trying to call Dub. Dub has an important job. Wednesday, probably the most important day.
The most important day.
For him. I mean, that's when we usually go to the phone calls. We make sure anonymous mailbag an hour or two of all the days Dub could miss. Wednesday, the single most day he could not miss, which, frankly, is par for the course that he would not show up, given the fact that, as I always say, I'm an island of perfection surrounded by complete and utter incompetence. Yesterday, by the way, we're going to play the audio from television for you. I text Danny G a video that they pulled for me off of our television show, and I say, hey, just make sure you have this audio ready to play. And he's like, well, how can you email it to me so I can make sure that I have the audio in my email? I said, do you not know how to save a video off of your phone and email it to yourself?
I don't do that. How many people send you clips of TV shows?
I get clips of TV shows, all that. You didn't know.
You're on TV.
You didn't. This is like, again.
I've never used my, I'll be honest, I've never used my iPhone like that. I've never taken a TV clip and put it into my photos.
It's a regular video. You don't get girls, you're single and 40. You don't get girls sending you naked photos that you're saving onto your phone immediately.
In my Snapchat, and it stays in my history on my WhatsApp.
You've never saved a video that somebody sent to you on your phone?
No, because it's embarrassing when somebody, you know, swipes on your pictures, or if you show a family member a picture and they go the other direction. I've had it happen before where a private personal picture is next in line and somebody sees it. You don't want that on your phone.
I guess maybe, but you don't have regular phones? Like your buddy and you are out at a football game or a basketball game and somebody takes a great video and they're like, hey, I'm going to send that to you?
Nah.
I've never heard of that. The fact that you didn't know how to do that is just, again, more evidence of the incompetence that surrounds me. Who do we have Dub yet?
I'm getting his number right now.
All right, so Dub has not shown up. Nobody knows where he is. I'm going to call him right now and leave him a message to try to figure out. I think that the bet is that he's still sleeping. Obviously, it's early in the morning in Nashville where Dub lives, 5:30 where I live, 5:30 a.m. Dub kind of on the ball here in theory because it's a big day for the anonymous mailbag in hour two. Don't book any guests. This is Dub's time to shine. Make sure that he handles the phone calls. Make sure that he sets up everything, and he's not here. All right, there we go. All right, let's dial Dub. Live on the air, we're going to call Dub. I will leave him a message if he does not answer. All right, we have the dial tone. Do we have the ability to dial, or do we have the ability only to put the dial tone on? All right, here we go.
Yeah, hang on.
You,
hey, would you relax over there? The phone is not, we've talked about this before when we were trying to get Nawab on the show. The phone is not made for what you wanted to do right now, but I'm going to make it work. So just hold on. Hold your horses over there.
This is unbelievable.
The phones are pretty old.
What?
We don't have the best equipment here.
Oh, how do we not have the best equipment? We're on in all 50 states. We've got over 300 affiliates. Our ratings are up 50% in the last year, which is unheard of for a radio show. imagine what we would be capable of if either we had competent employees on this show, or we actually had phones that work, or like that, like every now and then things just worked on the show. Can we make the phone call now?
Let's give it a try.
All right, there we go. Is this Dub's call?
Yes.
Is this Dub's phone ring?
Yeah,
all right.
Ringing Dub.
All right,
right
you
now.
Guys sit back. I'll handle this.
William memorandum revocatively ensuing the residents. Thank you.
What? Bye-bye. Hold on. What just happened there?
At the tone.
That's not Dub.
Yeah, that was his voice.
What was his voicemail? We got to call him again.
All right. For more
options. I didn't understand what was being said there. Did he say memorandum in his voicemail?
He was mumbling.
Yeah.
All right, quiet. Everybody be very quiet. I don't understand Dub's voicemail message. Let's listen to this again.
I'm going to dial it up again here.
Yeah, that's what I just told you to do. Dial it up again.
Yeah, but as you just heard, it's not easy to do on this phone system, so relax over there.
This is unbelievable.
All right, Dub is calling my cell phone. Hang on.
All right, put him... Put him on speaker.
Hey, Dub, are you there?
I'm about to be. My alarm didn't go off.
What's he saying?
He said my alarm didn't go off.
Oh, okay. That's convenient.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Lots of reaction pouring in. Nick emails and says, Clay, could I have a job working on your radio show? I have no experience in broadcasting, but I promise I know how to dial a phone, and I have never been late to work in my life. Sounds like I'd do a better job than your current employees. This is possible. Also, Dale says, I'm on the edge of my seat. Can't wait to find out if this show can handle making a phone call live. And what a voicemail. Do you think that, look, we are one of the three or four or five, whatever it is, biggest sports talk shows in the nation, right? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's us. It's Cowherd. It is the Mike and Mike Show, whatever it's called now. It is the Dan Le Batard Show, Dan Patrick, Gottlieb. There's not very many shows that are as big as this one, right? Do you think any of those shows are run as incompetently as this one? Or do we just dominate when it comes to... Like, do Mike and Mike, do they ever show up at their studio ever in like the 20 years that they did the show together, and the guy who's supposed to answer the phones just isn't there? Or do they ever show up and like the person who's trying to dial the phone just can't dial a number? We got many things to talk about here, but first, do we have we isolated Dub's voicemail to confirm that this is a weird voicemail that Dub has on his phone?
Yeah, we did.
All right. Can we hear that right here?
William memorandum revocatively ensuing the residents. Thank you.
He says, leave your memorandum.
What is, I mean, that is the most serial killing
I know.
Voicemail message I have ever, like, can we slow that down again? Like, that's so weird that I think we might need to fire Dub just based on, not even the fact that he didn't show up for work today, but just based on that this is his voicemail message. Let's listen to this again.
William memorandum revocatively ensuing the residents. Thank you.
What the hell is going, like,
I don't know. It's like,
why is the word memorandum even used? Also,
what word did
why
he
does
say
he sound
after that?
Like he's like in the process of carving up a dead body and talking like so softly and like creepily? That's the message that somebody has on
like
their
trying
phone.
To be, is he like trying to be sexy or something? Like
I don't know. Is he a stripper? Is that why he's late? Does Dub also work
trying
as
to pick
a stripper?
Up on chicks, you know, like his chick boys.
I that is so creepy. Like, I don't even know what to say about it.
William memorandum revocatively ensuing the residents. Thank you.
What?
Eloquently? Is that what he said? Eloquently?
I can't even tell what he's saying there.
William memorandum revocatively ensuing the residents. Thank you.
Ensuing residents?
What?
Like,
William memorandum revocatently ensuing the residents. Thank you.
This guy is single. I'm telling you right now,
oh,
if you're a single woman out there and you're trying to get in touch with Dub and you hear that, you better put him on the sex offender registry right now. You should never date that dude. I don't know what's going on.
Revocatively ensuing the residents. Thank you.
You introducing that guy to your sister?
God, hell no.
That's off the list. If Dub can go within 250 feet of a school or church, I'm going to be stunned.
Man,
right now.
There's got to be a good story surrounding that because he's a very cool dude on and off the air. I don't understand that greeting at all.
Travis?
Will your memorandum brilliantly ensuing the residence?
I don't understand. I mean, is he a stripper? Is he a drug dealer? Is there some like code that's going on there? Is he with the Mexican cartel? And that's is he the new, what's the guy, the Clint Eastwood, the old man? Like, is he just driving around pounds and pounds of drugs?
Memorandum, brilliantly ensuing the residence. Thank you.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
I am an ocean of island of perfection, surrounded by an ocean of incompetence. Doesn't matter what's going on. Just people like fail, flounder, can't do their jobs. Dub, first of all, Danny G gets a promotion. All right. We know that Jason Martin had many flaws, among them that he didn't drive if there was like a snowflake in the air. He doesn't show up for work. Danny G gets a promotion and immediately says he's got too much work now. Can't handle the phones. Too many things that he's supposed to do. I have no idea how hard his job is. So I decide, you know what? Dub, I will put in charge of the phones. We'll route the phones through Nashville. All Dub will have to do is answer the phones. Most important day, Wednesday, for the phone answering, because we do the anonymous mailbag in hour two. Big time phone performance issues today because Dub doesn't show up for work, and nobody even knows Dub doesn't show up for work. We have no idea. Dub might not have been showing up for work for a while because no one is aware Dub isn't at work until I go to him live on the radio to talk to him. And then people are like, oh, we don't, Dub's not there. We haven't heard from Dub yet. Nobody tells me Dub might not be there. Dub, I think, is there now, but Dub, as not showing up, we decide to call him to wake him up. And we find out a really alarming thing, which is Dub might have the creepiest voicemail in all of America. Can we play the voicemail again?
Your memorandum, brilliantly ensuing the residence. Thank you.
What is going on there? Dub, explain your voicemail. I can't even tell what you're saying.
Good morning, Clay.
Thanks for coming to work.
My pleasure. That's been my voicemail greeting since high school, I think in my junior year. Would you like me to repeat it?
So can you play it for us again so everybody can hear it? Or just, like, I don't
understand. I can recite it right now.
Yes.
Please chronicle your memorandum breviloquently ensuing the residence. Which is a very fancy way of saying, when you hear the tone, leave a message.
The reason why I'm not speaking for a while is I'm thinking about whether we should fire you right now for that voicemail.
Hey, we've been talking all week about people making stupid decisions and stupid choices in their teen years.
Yeah, that's a good spin
zone.
And if that's
one of my worst mistakes as a teenager, then I think I've done all right.
You're
Don't
fired.
You think you probably should change your voicemail?
You know what? I think it might be time to start considering that. Now, whether or not I'm ready to actually change it yet is another story.
All right. So that is just, I don't even know what to say. Like, it is.
Ensuing the residence. Thank you.
Well, Clay, I'm 25 years old. Kids in my generation, we don't leave voicemails anymore.
Well, anti-voicemail. So you're preaching to the choir here. I hate when people leave me voicemails. I got voicemails from 5 months ago that are on my phone. Text me. I got a call the other day from my producer on Lock It In. He's like, can we schedule a call to talk about the show Friday at 3 o'clock Pacific? And I'm like, can you not just text me the questions that you have right now instead of me having to schedule a call with you? I am an efficiency like machine, right? I want to get everything decided instantly. Now, some people over text, like Cindy, our producer, programmer on the show, Cindy Katz. I bet I get a billion texts from her in a row, except when things like go a little bit awry. Like we had Ice Cube scheduled for last Friday. She texts me like 100 times a day every time we have a guest. Didn't text when Ice Cube canceled. And so I had no idea because she just sent an email. Like, I don't care. Whatever your method of communication is, at least be consistent on it. But I, on the show, on the television show yesterday, Danny G has a crush on Rachel Bonetta. If you don't know who Rachel Bonetta is, she's good looking, she's smart, she's funny, she hosts our show. Danny got a schoolboy crush on her. and I decided to give Danny a chance with Bonetta. This was what we did. This is live on television yesterday. This is what it sounded like.
Derek Carr starting to get on a roll. The Raiders get the big win, 24-21. I think the Raiders can extend their roll, even though they're now at the very bottom, 3-10. I like betting on the Raiders going forward. My guy Danny G says they're playing well. And by the way, Bonetta, not to give you a compliment, but he's in absolute love with you. He asked about you all the time. He's watching right now.
Please wait. That is uncomfortable.
Could have been a better start. Could have been a better start. Bonetta saying that's uncomfortable. Now, she's going to come on the show at some point. Danny G, how did you think that went?
I guess it could have went a little bit better because the way you worded it, I almost sound like a stalker, which made her uncomfortable. But
yeah, when he said it, when you said he's watching right now.
Yeah.
Well, let's pause for a minute.
Okay.
You are kind of a stalker. This is a girl you've never met that you watch on television every day and that you wanted to know that you liked her. That's kind of a stalker. I mean,
true,
you made me sound like a stalker.
I didn't
you're
ask
watching
you,
every day.
I didn't ask you to do that, though.
You're watching every day. Well, if you tell me, I'm going to do it. If you say it, it's fair game. You're watching every day a girl you don't know that you like on television. That's kind of being a stalker. Now, I'm not saying it's not uncommon.
Yeah.
There's a reason why women are good-looking on television. It's because men will watch good-looking women on television, right? Like, there aren't, and this is in general on television, by and large, really ugly people are not on television. Who is the least attractive person on television right now in the world of sports? I know the answer. It's Brian Windhorst. He's the least attractive man. Not anything against Brian Windhorst. He is by far. Can anybody beat Brian Windhorst?
Eddie has somebody.
Eddie.
Who you got?
Paul Feinbaum.
Feinbaum is an unattractive man.
very intelligent, though.
Feinbaum is a very. What are you, his mom? I think that Windhorst is the least attractive man on television. Now, I'm on television. I don't think people see me and they're like, oh, my God, that guy's incredibly good looking. There are a lot of incredibly good looking people on television. I'm not one of them, right? But certainly Brian Windhorst, I think it's fair to say, if we were doing a draft for the least attractive people to appear regularly on sports television, Windhorst would be number one. Feinbaum would be up there, too. And by the way, we can talk about guys being unattractive on television. If we pick an unattractive girl, it'll be like a lead story in America. And it'll be like evidence. It'll be evidence of like Me Too. It'll be like, oh, Clay Travis went on the radio and he said a girl on television was ugly. And meanwhile, we can just rip guys to high heaven. Windhorst right now, starting off his morning, has no idea. He just got flattened going over the middle, like just wrecked. Paul Feinbaum early in the morning, like he's like feeling good about himself, just brushed his teeth. Got the floss going, headed into work at ESPN, boom, just getting wiped out by you guys. So, Bonetta, good-looking girl on television, smart, funny.
Yeah, she's very witty. I guess from the very first time your show debuted, not to sound like a stalker, it's probably too late for that, but the first time I saw her on camera, I felt like she was talking just to me.
Yeah, that's what psychos say. When you think that somebody on television is talking just to you, that's what psycho people do. That's what Dub would say if we were judging him based on his voicemail.
Not to go overboard, but she may have the most beautiful eyes of any female.
I think you just went overboard. You said not to go overboard, and then I think you just went overboard.
Yeah, you went overboard.
So you're saying I have a chance with her?
I don't know. When you say she has beautiful eyes, I have no idea what color eyes Rachel Bonetta has. What color eyes does she have?
Dreamy.
What, do you know what color they are?
No, you can't tell.
Well, so if you're going to compliment a woman's eyes,
they look beautiful. Because they look like a hazelish color.
Are they? Somebody needs to pull up a photo of Bonetta to figure out whether or not she has a hazelish color eyes, or if Danny G's just totally stalking and also making up compliments without knowing. Like, I know my wife's eyes are brown. I know mine are green. That's about as far.
Well, this
parents.
Is why you have to hook me up to meet her in person so that I can look into her eyes and see exactly
what color. I think it's much creepier at this point if I hook you up to meet her in person. Then I think we can maybe broker an on-air meeting on the radio where she doesn't have to be in your physical presence. Frankly, after Dub's voicemail, at least Eddie is married. Roberto's married. I'm not sure that I feel comfortable introducing any women to any of the single members of this show. I'm not sure I can give you guys endorsements. but we're trying to shoot a shot.
That's
Tubbs' voicemail. We're trying to shoot a shot here for Danny G. All right, so this is the segment of the show where we do the anonymous mailbag live on the air. So, Dub, are the phones working there?
Phones are working. I'm on it right now.
All right. So here is the phone number, 877-996-6369. You can react to anything that's happened on the show so far. But more importantly, if you have any problems in life, hour two, Wednesday edition, Outkick the Coverage. I have humbly named myself the King Solomon of the Internet for the anonymous mailbag that I write every single Tuesday on my website, outkickthecoverage.com, outkick.com. Wildly popular, me responding to questions there. I now will solve any problem you have in your life live on the radio in hour two, Wednesday edition. It's the anonymous mailbag on radio. I now am saying that I am both the King Solomon of the Internet and also the King Solomon of the radio. I believe we have music to introduce this segment.
You've got mail, mother...
Anonymous mailbag!
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
All right, so we are going to take calls. Dub, are you capable of fielding calls here and lining them up as we go into break? I seriously question. What? Hopefully that's because he's answering phone calls that he's not responding on the air. Dub, fielding your phone calls.
Check this out, Clay. I just found this out from the internet. Oh, now you're going to say I'm stalking on the internet. Her eye color, light green. No, that's why through the TV screen kind of looks hazel.
Well, hazel is light green. 877-996-6369. Hazel is green. It's the same thing.
I didn't know that.
Are you serious?
Me neither.
I legitimately believe.
Do you think that we had the fancy box of crayons as kids? We had like five crayons.
I think all of you used to eat crayons. I honestly don't know how this show happens on a day-to-day basis.
But isn't hazel green and brown? I thought it was more of a brown color. Is that's not right?
I don't. There is hazel and it is green eyes. If you have hazel eyes, you have green eyes. There's a different gradations on hazel. Like you can be really green or you can be greenish brown. You're saying her eyes are entirely green, like emeralds.
No, I didn't say that.
So they're hazel.
Yeah. But why on the internet is it listed as green?
I don't know why there's a difference between green. I think they're synonymous.
I'm going to get into her Wikipedia page and fix this.
Oh, God. This is getting creepier by the minute. Gonna get a restraining order soon.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We're joined now by Britt McHenry at Britt McHenry on Twitter. She is now with Fox News. She was with ESPN before that. She's been coming on as a guest with us for a while. Britt, I believe last night you were at the Caps game. How did that go?
It was awesome. The Capitals put on quite the show. I believe the final score was 6-2, but there, you know, that was more of a fan experience, Clay. So there were some beverages. So I can't, you know, definitively tell you what happened in the final third period. But at that point, they just stole the show with the Red Wings. So, you know, I was a happy girl.
Is the city of Washington still kind of walking on air over the Caps winning the championship?
I think there's so much going on with Trump right now in Washington that feels like a lifetime ago, but I certainly am. That was one of the coolest experiences I've had because I've never been a fan of a winning team. So when, you know, you grew up rooting for the Dolphins and then in Chicago, you know, I went to Northwestern, so going to Cubs games when they weren't the World Series champs of a few years ago, I never really had that experience of enjoying a title win, a championship. So,
what do you think the city of D.C., we haven't really talked much about his free agency, but Bryce Harper is, it appears, going to leave the Nationals, and where exactly he's going to end up is still uncertain. But what do you think the verdict on Bryce Harper in D.C. is going to be when he eventually leaves? Is he going to be hated? You know, we see athletes come back, whether it's LeBron going back to Cleveland or whatnot, and that's a little bit different, obviously, because LeBron is from the Cleveland area. But Do you think that Bryce Harper is going to become immediately detested by national fans, or do you think over time they'll come to see some positives associated with his tenure?
I don't think he'll be detested. It's just not that kind of city. It's not if you left, like, Philadelphia, which is presumably a team that he could go to, or New York with the Mets. Like, I think this town, especially with him coming in and just giving the Nationals some relevancy, will always appreciate that. You know, in the images of him winning the home run derby in his own city, I think there's some good memories. But I'm in the camp of, I would see him go. Like, I would rather just have a farm system, develop a few more players. I think they should have traded him at the trade deadline to get something for him. I think that was a huge gap by the Nationals. And reportedly, Mike Rizzo wanted to, but the owners were the ones that squashed that. You know, I just don't think he's really done anything that clutch, especially in the playoffs. They've never gotten out of the first round to warrant paying him $300 million, which that's a fair offer. They made him that. I know Rizzo said yesterday that he's not closing the door on him, but it doesn't, I don't know. I'm sort of like, keep your $300 million, let him go. That's my philosophy.
All right, we need a woman's opinion on this, Britt. We got a couple of different audio clips for you. The first one is my producer on the show, Danny G, who I think calls you, is in love with Rachel Bonetta, who is the host of the show that I'm on FS1 in the afternoons, Lock It In. And so yesterday, this is what happened on the television show. I decided to, you know, kind of let her know that she has an admirer, and this is what it sounded like.
Car starting to get on a roll. The Raiders get the big win, 24-21. I think the Raiders can extend their roll, even though they're now at the very bottom, 3-10. I like betting on the Raiders going forward. My guy Danny G says they're playing well. And by the way, Bonetta, not to give you a compliment, but he's in absolute love with you. He asked about you all the time. He's watching right now.
Please, well, that is uncomfortable.
All right. So that is live on television yesterday. So what do you think? Did I throw Danny G under the bus there, or now what are his chances with Bonetta going forward?
So is this like a second First Amendment and boobs?
Yeah, he is viral moment for him. Yeah, yeah. He I would say that right now Danny G has like a seventh or eighth grade crush on Rachel Bonetta. He's never met her, but he watches the television show. I'm sure there are many uncomfortable crushes from men that you have met in person. So I want to start there. Do you remember how common was it for you to meet men who had, like, I would say crushes, not like stalker, like uncomfortable, but like you had to meet guys like this, right? From when you were on ESPN and now when you're on Fox News, you're a single woman, you're good looking. Guys have to come up to you every now and then and be like puppy dogs, right?
No, where are these guys play? Maybe you should usher them.
Maybe you're too intimidating. So you don't get approached at the bar by guys very often who are like, hey, you know, you don't know me at all, but I watch you on television, and like nothing like I don't know the answer. So I'm just kind of curious. This doesn't happen to you?
No, I mean, I think the most recent guy, I slid into his DM. So maybe I just need a better – some better swagger, but I think it was uncomfortable if you said that to me. I would be like, wow, send me the number.
I think that, yeah, well, there you go, Danny. You should have been after
where's
Britt,
my crush, yeah,
instead,
Danny,
of Bonetta.
I'm officially switching my crush yeah, to Britt.
So here is the other thing. I'm sure you have seen this, Britt. I think that the girl that gets hit on the most at the bar is not the best-looking girl. I think she's the girl that people are least intimidated to talk to, like the girl next door factor. I think you probably intimidate a lot of guys.
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, they're probably thinking if I'm going to like go on a
rant against them,
rant or something. Yes. Yeah. No. I guess like I would go with you on that theory for sure.
All right, so here is the second part here, another woman's opinion. So Dub is in charge of the Nashville studio here on the show. He did not wake up this morning, and so he didn't show up at work. No one knew he works in the studio by himself, so we weren't even aware that he wasn't there until I tried to go talk to him live on air in hour one, and then people are like, oh, he's not there today. So then we call his voicemail. And this is the voicemail message that he has. What would you think if you were a woman and you called and this is what you heard?
Your memorandum, brevity, ensuing the residence. Thank you.
What? I know you probably can't even tell what he was saying, but that's a creepy voicemail, isn't it?
Yeah, it's slightly creepy. Poor guy. You're just throwing him under the bus on national TV or national radio.
Yeah, well, there's no safety here. There is no – this is not a safe space. So the minute led into a discussion, do you leave voicemail messages? When's the last time you left a voicemail message for someone?
I think I do. I do, but I rely on a voicemail message if you're in trouble, mostly, you know?
Like if you're angry at somebody, you would leave them an angry voicemail message?
No, I'm not going to be the angry woman. But if you really need to get a hold of that person, or it's like, you know, a stress-related situation, I would leave a voicemail. But usually I'll just text.
All right. So, yeah, I'm a text guy, so I hate when people leave me voice messages, because I always inevitably, like, the voicemail message doesn't come through, and I'm thinking, like, oh, this must be a really serious thing if somebody left me a voicemail message.
Or you'll just see that they called you. Like, you'll see the missed call and just call it back.
Yeah, that's like, what I also do. I assume
it's not
that
1985. I don't think you need to leave a voicemail.
Yeah, all right. So we're there. All right. So the last time we talked to you, you were on a train on your way to New York, and we didn't actually get to talk about your new gig. So you now are on, you're part of a new story, new gig. Tell me what it is and what your day-to-day is now as you get ready for it. How often are you going to New York, and when can people see you, and what is that going to be like?
Yeah, so I go to New York every week on Thursday, and I'll come back either Friday night or Saturday morning. And I'm hosting a show with Tyrus, who's a former wrestler. So it's a bit of an odd combination on paper, but we've had great chemistry, and we host a show called UnPC. So it's fitting for me, and we'll talk about a lot of different issues from, you know, sports-related stories. We talked about the last boxing match a week or two ago, and we'll also talk about just social commentary. I mean, you do a lot of that too, Clay, with your shows. So we're not afraid to go there with any topic, and we tape twice a week. It's on the new Fox Nation streaming service. And then while I'm up there, I'll also do Fox Business shows. I think coming up, I'm going to be on Outnumbered soon and doing the New Year's Eve show. So when you're celebrating and you're in your warm home, Clay, I don't know if you have any plans with the kids, maybe turn on Fox News and you'll see me freezing in a sea of tourists with puff jackets on New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So have you ever done that before?
Yeah, I'm really excited. What's that?
Have you ever done that before, like the New Year's Eve celebration? Have you ever done anything like that before?
No. I this is like a bit of a bucket list to be continued, whether or not I'll enjoy it. But I've never done the Times Square thing on New Year's Eve.
So you've never been there on Times Square at all, and you're going to do it live on television?
Yeah, hopefully we won't have any moments like some other hosts.
Oh yeah,
maybe that's a good thing if you're enjoying some beverages. But
that's actually going to be pretty fun. I will definitely flip that on. I have no idea what we're doing on New Year's, because like the only day I get off for TV is Christmas Day, because so many people sit around and watch television over the holidays. It's like the highest rated time for television. It's a little bit different for radio because people are not working, so they're not in their cars as much, so things kind of change there. But have you thought about that? Like, that's going to be pretty frigid, right, to be outside on the television for that long? Have you thought about your game plan attire-wise?
I have not. I'm going to have to go back to my old Sunday countdown days and, like, get some good scarf, a good beanie game going. No, but I think it'll just be a great experience. I'll be with Tyrus doing that too. So I'm with you though on the holidays. Like, nobody understands, well, some people do, but outside of this business, how you tend to work the most on holidays. Like, think about it. There's all the football games on Thanksgiving. There's the NBA games on Christmas Day. And of course, you know, New Year's as well with these sort of festivities. So I have to like repeatedly tell my parents I can't come home. It also gets me out of like cooking and doing those things as well. So I'm not complaining about working on holidays.
All right. We're talking to Britt McHenry. Go follow her on Twitter at Britt McHenry. Thank you for getting up early with us. So you were talking about how you comment on sports and culture and everything else. So I don't know if you saw the story surrounding Kyler Murray. So the kid wins the Heisman Trophy, and then almost immediately USA Today, boom, hits him with, oh my God, can you believe Kyler Murray, when he was 14 or 15 years old, while tweeting with friends of his, right? I mean, when he's a freshman in high school or whatever else, uses gay slurs. And they're like, this is unbelievable. This is unacceptable. Is it fair to go back years and years into people's Twitter history and turn it into a story, particularly when, as here, the kids involved are actually kids, right? We're talking about teenage boys or girls. Is that fair or foul in your mind?
I think it's completely foul. You know, we see it. This happens now continuously, and it's from adults trying to ruin the best night of kids' lives. Like, we've seen this on draft night. Wasn't Josh Allen?
Correct.
There was one of the top quarterbacks. Yeah. So that happened to him. And then it was reported that it was a team that did it specifically so that he would fall in the draft, which is just evil to me. And then this happens. But I think the problem is, and you would agree with me, Clay, the more that we try to look for outrage, especially in an incident where the kid was 14 years old, the less real outrage there's going to be when something is of a pressing concern. You know, and also, I'm not defending any inappropriate language, but there was some terminology, like I remember when I was a kid, that could be seen as really tied to the LGBT community now and offensive, where it had like different connotations back then. You know, so not only was he super young, but sometimes words didn't have, I guess, the weight of outrage culture that people assume them to have now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. And also, this ties in not just in the world of sports, but I would bet you're on my side here. Would you have been perfect? Do you think it's unfair that Kevin Hart got pulled Oscars for his jokes?
What?
Do you think it's fair that Kevin Hart got pulled off the Oscars for his old Twitter jokes?
No. In fact, that was a topic I went in on our show and on PC. I think Kevin Hart is so funny. And, you know, what I really loved was Nick Cannon went through Amy Schumer, Chelsea Handler, and Sarah Silverman, three of like the wokest female comedians, and found what would be inappropriate tweets that they had years ago and 10 years ago. I mean, if we're going to play that game, I think a lot of people will get in trouble. And I just don't understand putting that kind of energy towards ruining opportunities for people. Like, I mean, look, there are some tweets, like that director for the Avengers, what was his name?
James Gunn, the Guardians of the Galaxy director.
Yeah, he had some really creepy tweets about young boys. And look, there is a line, I guess, though it can be blurry, of perhaps, I don't know, if it's like 1,000 tweets about young kids. Like, that's something to have a little concern about. But I think overall, we're just taking this and running in a bad direction. I'm sure you would agree.
I wish Kevin Hart was still the Oscars director. Look, I judge people based on their overall quality of work, not on what they tweet like one off.
Absolutely.
Or even if they send a bunch of things that I think later you look at. I mean, I think James Gunn was trying to be funny. I think what he sent was inappropriate. But mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy is an amazing movie. And so is Guardians of the Galaxy 2. They're so good. I watch them with my kids all the time. And that guy is so good at what he does. And obviously those characters are in the Avengers movies and everything else too. I want to see him be able to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I think it's ridiculous that he gets submarine based on old tweets that he sent. And I feel that way regardless of the political orientation, race, gender, religion, ethnicity, all those things. If people have talent, I want them to continue to share their talent with the largest possible audience. I'm curious for you. Do you get more negativity now in the political realm, or did you get more negativity in the world of sports? And the reason why I ask that is I often find I have opinions on everything, right, on this show and mm-hmm. everywhere else, and I don't find there to be that much difference in negativity from the world of sports, for me, an opinion, and the world of politics. I actually think I was prepared for having political opinions, because if you say something about somebody's favorite sports team that they don't like, they come after you just as negatively, because it's tribal as well. People see themselves mm-hmm. as a member of the Democrat or Republican tribe or the Independent tribe, just like they see themselves as the Yankees, or the Red Sox, the Auburn Tigers, or the Alabama Crimson Tide. Have you found that to be true as well?
Absolutely. I think I get asked this question a lot, and people would assume it's political, that I would get more pushback. And now, granted, you get your typical anti-Trump, you know, I'm much more right-leaning, so you'll get that crowd that comes after you. But I think sports was worse, Clay, because people are so adamant about defending their teams. And especially, you know, if you're a diehard fan growing up watching the Yankees, you know so much about them. Almost you think you know more than the person paid to be on radio or TV talking about it, right? So it's like, well, I could be the expert on this. So I think, especially mixed with some misogyny on social media, it's like never the best road. So I think that's worse than any political commentary I do.
Which I think surprises people, because you don't think, a lot of people who don't know any better would think, oh, sports seems like it would be fun and people would be really nice on social media. The reality is, if you say anything other than like somebody's team is the greatest thing that's ever happened on the planet, people come after you in such a negative fashion.
It's all fun and games until those Philadelphia Flyers fans and Gritty are like just dumpster fire in your mentions. You know, that's happened to me too. And Ryan Tannehill, I've said that I don't think he's a franchise quarterback for Miami. I got pushback from Miami fans for like a week straight. And now look how the season has gone. So maybe I was right.
Yeah, they're definitely all coming around. So when can people see you next? You said you're going to be on New Year. We need to talk to you before New Year's Eve, because that's actually going to be really cool. But when is your next event? When are you headed up to Fox News?
Tomorrow I will be on our show, if people get Fox Nation, and Trish Regan's show on Fox Business at 8 o'clock. And I think that's what we got right now.
So let me ask you this. Have you seen good feedback from this is a fascinating business experiment to me, the Fox Nation concept, where people who like Fox News, and look, there's ESPN Plus that's out there. The streaming plus add-on is becoming a bigger and bigger part of the overall media kind of offering that's out there. Have you seen good response from people who are signing up for Fox Nation so far?
Absolutely. That's how I operate, Clay, with anything. You know, I watch Outlander on Starz. I will download the Starz app for a couple months if that's like what I want to watch. Like, I cut cable a year ago. So I think it's the beginning of a future trend. And people can, and the great thing about it is if they get Fox Nation, they can watch the show anytime they want. So I've gotten a lot of mentions that people have checked it out. Tyrus just has a huge cult following from when he was a wrestler. And I know nothing about wrestling. That's the one area I'm not too keen on, that NASCAR. So it's interesting. I'm meeting a lot of new fans. And if anyone likes wrestling listening, I apologize.
I'm a big WWE fan because my boys love it. We were watching WrestleMania 3 last night, of all things, on the WWE Network. Good stuff as always, Britt. Go follow her at Britt McHenry. Thanks for getting up with us.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.